Welcome back. Final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. I am your host, Tom Abraham. Let's step aside just for a moment from this great basketball discussion that we've been having regarding UT and Vandy over the weekend. Both played great. The NFL playoffs, of course, got started. And the Predators are back out west. It seems like they just got back like 20 minutes ago. I mean, you know, am I wrong? It just seems like weren't they just out there? They just had a very nice little West Coast run not too long ago. Well, they're back out there. They're kind of reversing it. They're in Vancouver tonight, and tomorrow they play the Oil, and then the Flames on Friday. Last time they were out there was the Flames, the Oil, and Vancouver, and they ended up winning the first two and dropping that one at Vancouver. So maybe the luck will change tonight out there at GM Place. We are joined right now, though, by the color commentator for the Nashville Predators, our friend, Mr. Terry Crisp. Terry, how are you, my man?
Hey, dog, doing great out here. Everything's getting set to the Olympics, obviously, starting here in February out in Vancouver. And they're putting the final touches to everything. Nothing but building going up here. And it's a typical rainy, drizzle, gray Vancouver day. So it's a good day to be inside playing a hockey game.
Hey, check this out, Terry. We just got word coming across the wire here. You probably know this. Maybe not. We just got word that the U.S. team gave Ryan Suter an A. How about that?
No kidding. Good for the youngster. Well, hey,
yeah.
They've seen him play. They've watched him play. We know what he's capable of on our hockey club. So at least they called him Suter this time and not Sutter.
No, they called him Suter. But no, they put the assistant captain, the alternate captain on him. I think that's great.
That's quite an honor.
That is a huge honor.
I didn't realize that, but we'll use that tonight. Thank you. We'll,
just came out.
Give
just
him a little kudos.
Yeah. It'll be in your notes probably tonight. It just came down the pike here that he is named an alternate captain for the Olympic squad. All right, listen now. We're going to play a little game with you, because you're a good sport. We had a guy on last week, and he made some, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I don't know, but he made some comments about you. We want you to name this former player of yours. You want to hear this? Here's a cut.
You know, there's no BS with Crispy. You know, he tells it like it is, and you know, I think people like that about people, that you know, there is no sugarcoating anything, and you know, that's the kind of guy Crispy is, and you know, I owe a lot to Terry, because you know, he allowed me to the opportunity to play in a great team, and you know, gave me a lot of ice time and a lot of opportunities to play with great players, and you know, in the end, you know, we were able to you know, carry the Stanley Cup around the Montreal Forum, which no visiting team in the history of hockey has ever done.
There's the giveaway there. Do you know what former player of yours that is?
That's the little guy.
That's the little guy.
The old flurry.
That's the little guy. Yeah, the Dandel. I tell you what, and it's amazing, because I went back, you know, he wrote a book, and it could have been such a tragic story, because he almost ended his life. I mean, that's how bad it got for Theo Fleury. But, you know, thankfully he's on the straight and narrow now, and he's doing the right thing, and he's telling people about what he went through with the abuse and all that kind of stuff. But I went back, and I was looking at some of the pictures in the book from, you know, when he first came up. And my God, he looked like he was 14 years old when he was playing for you guys when he first came in.
He was young when he came in. He was so small, which also added to it. But I'm telling you one thing. I don't think I've ever met or had a player of that tenure that was so tenacious. In fact, that year we won the Cup, I had two of them. I had Theo Fleury and I had Dougie Gilmore. And two of the smallest players, and yet played like they were 6'8", owned the world, knew no fear, and challenged the whole world. And I think, you know what, not to be a smart aleck about this, but remember how we always throw that phrase out, a small man's complex to prove to the world? Well, Theo Fleury, and Killer to an extent, had that attitude that, hey, I'm here, and I'm staying here. And if anybody ever gets a chance to read his book, me and Theo Fleury's, Fire on Ice or Fire Something, whatever, the first part of that book, I almost cried.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a travesty of justice, what was happening out there. And I'm thinking, you know what, you always think that somewhere down the road it'll come around. Well, I hope it does come around for the man who did all the stuff that was in that book.
Yeah.
It was just terrible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't read it yet, so I've got it sitting on my shelf. It's the next one I'm reading when I get done with the one I got going right now. But yeah, you know, it is, and I know exactly what you're speaking about, and you see it in hockey. I saw it back in the day when I was playing college hockey, and you see it in football a lot too, because the other thing about the little man complex is the big man complex. It's so frustrating sometimes. We had this kid who was a defenseman that was 6'3", and on his skates he looked like he was, you know, 6'7", and he was this big old boy and everything, and you couldn't get him to touch anybody, and it was like he felt like everybody was his little brother or something. And he, you know, he felt like, if I hit anybody, I'm gonna be. There was a kid. I want to see. Do you remember Remember Peter McNabb? Do you remember Peter?
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of like
gentle
that.
Giant.
Yeah, he was kind of like that. He would frustrate the hell out of you because I remember he went back and forth between Rochester and Buffalo when back in the day, and it would frustrate you because he'd like hit something, will you please? And he was afraid to hit anything because he was so big.
Well, I had a big guy in Tampa like that, the fans. And the worst part is the fans get on him then, like an Adam Creighton. Who I had a big man who they don't play physical. That's not their nature. You can't coach into them. That's just the way they are. So, you know, it's almost a curse the other way from being a Theo Fleury or a small guy to being a big guy, but it's not your makeup, your nature to be mean.
Yeah, that's a good point.
People expect you to. Just because you're big, they expect you to be mean and miserable, and it doesn't always work that way. But then again, the guy I love watching is that Titan player, that Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, the size of him, when he takes the ball and runs, I love watching that guy. And he's not that big.
No, he's not, and he runs.
He looks like he's got legs on him like freaking like pistons.
Yeah, he runs angry out there, too, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about this hockey team here because, we're lucky. We got Shea Weber, who is big and tough. Nobody wants a piece of that guy. I mean,
exactly.
Woo, doggy, you get a guy like that, that's just about perfect. But, you know, when you look at these guys here right now, man, I'll tell you, they're holding it together with all the injuries and all the guys being out. It's just nuts. And now, you know, we understand that, what's his name, Gitte? How do you say it?
Ben Gitte.
They had to send him back down there because they got injury problems over in Milwaukee. I mean, what the hell is going on?
They're draining them down there. I mean, let's think about the player we've been pulling out of there, and they're still holding in, still staying alive down in Milwaukee. So we've drained them, but they've done a good job. But the guys we brought up have been ready.
Yeah.
The guys we brought up and put in the game have played for us. And I sort of the one I hate, and I'm telling people around, they say, well, you guys, you must be doing it with smoke and mirrors because your budget and the players. And I said, no, you know what? Let's quit saying that stupid phrase, smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. Let's just give our coaching staff some credit for a change.
Right.
Trotsky and Peterson and Horacek and Bouchard and them have done a great job with what they've had, with the players that have come up. Injuries, players in and out. They've done a marvelous job also to be where we are at the half point of the season.
All right, well, let's and then on that same note, let's talk about the road success now. Because going back to November 12th, the last 11 games on the road, 8-2-1, almost 4 goals per game. That doesn't happen by mistake. That's not just kind of, you know, getting a couple of wins. And that's a pretty good little sample, 11 games to be 8-2-1. What is it about this team that when they get in the plane, you know, and in the hotel, they seem to be able to play so well out on the road?
You know what? You ask coaches that, because coaches, some of their home records are so horrible, and on the road they're so good. And I think, you know what it is? Everybody simplifies their game then. The coaches simplify their game. The players simplify it. And by that, I mean they don't overreach. They don't think that they have to be every shift out there entertaining or an end-to-end rush or something. They stick to their system. They stick to what the coach has diagrammed, knowing full well that supposedly you're the underdog. And I think what it is just more of a focus, more of a mental focus on your game, on the game plan that the coaches have set out for you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And Patrick Hornquist looks like he's starting to become the guy that we hoped that he would be last year. He's starting to find that love and feeling, the scoring touch, 17 goals now. He's looking right in the face at a 35 type of, 35 goal type of season. I think, they got to be happy with the way he's developed.
Oh, they are. We all are. I mean, the coaching staff, and it's the proof's in the pudding where Trotsky uses them. I mean, if he needs help, he puts them up with Arnaud and Sullivan. And if somebody else needs help, he throws them back down with Leguand or whoever else needs some help. Wherever he puts Hornquist or whoever, that's what happens. He brings that level of game up, and players can do that. Your Martin Arat, which I was just informed, that's the real way to pronounce his name, by the way.
Really? After all these years, we've got to start calling him
Arat? You know what happened? Pete Weber and I, the first year, we take all the players' names, say, pronounce your name. Well, there's a Czech guy following the Olympic guys around. He was doing Martin today. So I said, oh, I see you're running some video on Martin Arat. And he says, his name is Arat. I said, oh, oops, sorry. Huh. So I go over to Marty. I said, hey, Marty, is your name Arat? He said, yes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
There you have a little revolution. You give me one, I give you one.
So there we go. Breaking news from Vancouver. We've got a new forward for the Preds. Martin Arat.
When we start talking about it tonight, you'll say, who's that new forward?
Arat. There you go. All right. Have a great call out there. Enjoy your time when you go through there again. Maybe Calgary will wear the throwback gear for you. They look so good when they wear that old gear, man. I look for them on the center ice, and if they're wearing that old gear, I'll watch Calgary.
Look out. Thank you, guys. Have a great day, and hope we bring home some wins for you.
There you go, man. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Take care, fellas.
All right. I was waiting for him to say, see you at the rink. We need to get a see you at the rink from Crispy. Well, we'll see you at the rink anyway, Crispy.